Mark 7, 24 to 37. Jesus left that place and went to the vicinity of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know it, yet he could not keep his presence secret. In fact, as soon as she heard about him, a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an impure spirit came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, born in Syrian Phoenicia. She begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. "First let the children eat all they want," he told her, "for it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." "Lord," she replied, "even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then he told her, "For such a reply, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." And she went home and found her child lying on the bed, and the demon had gone. Then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre and went through Sidon, down to the Sea of Galilee and into the region of the Decapolis. There some people brought to him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk, and they begged Jesus to place his hand on him. After he took him aside, away from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears. Then he spat and touched the man's tongue. He looked up to heaven and with a deep sigh said to him, Ephatha, which means be opened. At this, the man's ears were opened. His tongue was loosed, and he began to speak plainly. Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone, but the more he did so, the more they kept talking about it. People were overwhelmed with amazement. "He has done everything well," they said. "He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak."
Thanks very much, Andy. I'll just pray as we begin. Father, thank you for these words that you have given us through your servant Mark. Help us to pay attention to them. Help me to explain them faithfully that we might follow the Lord Jesus more closely. Amen. Well, do you remember a few weeks ago we had the king's coronation? I'm sure you haven't forgotten about that. Now, you couldn't miss what was happening in Sawston at the time. You see, there were banners everywhere, weren't there? And then just a couple of weeks beforehand, we started getting these big yellow road signs pointing to where the roads would be closed for the fun run. It would have been hard to walk through the village and not know that something was being planned. The organisers wanted us to know something was going to happen and that it was going to happen here in Sawston. Well, in our passage today, Mark wants us to be absolutely sure where these events are happening. He's putting, if you like, very clear signposts in his text. Did you spot them as Andy read the passage? Just like seeing the signs and banners meant that we knew about the coronation weekend coming up in Sawston, seeing Mark's signposts will help us understand his message. So we're still in the first half of Mark's gospel here, where he's asking one main question. And that basically is, who is Jesus? That's the question that we are looking at in the first half of Mark's gospel. We're soon going to focus on that second question, why did Jesus come? You'll see that behind me. But today and next week, we have a change of scenery. Up until now, Jesus has been travelling around in Jewish territory, in Jewish places. But in these passages that we've been reading this morning, Mark repeatedly highlights how Jesus has now moved into Gentile, that's non-Jewish territory. He really wants to point us to that. So we start off with Jesus in a place called Tyre. You can see that on the map behind me. And then we end up in Decapolis, right down on the bottom right-hand corner. Both of these are non-Jewish places. It's not clear whether Mark's describing our events in the sequence they happened, but it is clear he's placed them here in his gospel for a reason. And we saw last week in the first part of chapter 7 that the Pharisees and teachers of the law, who were the Jewish religious leaders, well, they made a big deal about being clean, didn't they? They were very obsessed with being clean on the outside. So they couldn't believe that Jesus' disciples weren't washing their hands properly. They just couldn't get their heads around it. And the Pharisees, and maybe even all the Jews at the time, would probably have seen themselves as clean and Gentiles as unclean. So by including these next accounts, Mark is showing us that Jesus came for all people. Indeed, to be truly clean, what was about people's hearts? All people, whether Jews or Gentiles, needed to trust in Jesus. That was the only way to make themselves clean. And it may be that the Jews particularly looked down on these places in this passage, Tyre and Sidon. So that could have been even more reason for Mark to include these events. But actually what we see in our passage today fulfills something that was written about in Psalm 87. In that psalm, it talks about people in Tyre coming to acknowledge and praise God. We see that happening in our passage. So Jesus come for all who believe. The faith and hunger of those we see in these passages are contrasted with the unbelief and opposition we saw last week with the Pharisees. They were concerned about being clean on the outside, but they needed transformed hearts, just like we see clearly in this woman in our passage. Mark really wants to highlight that Jesus has come for all people and not just the Jews. We all need to respond in faith. And Mark gives us two examples of those people that the Pharisees would have seen as unclean being welcomed by Jesus. So our title today is Jesus Has Come for All Who Turn to Him. And the two passages that we have together give us our first two headings. So firstly, know that Jesus has come. Jesus rather welcomes unclean people. And secondly, know that Jesus welcomes broken people. And a third heading we'll have is a question. Do you truly know Jesus? So if you want to take any notes, there's handouts around on the seats, and there'll be the headings on the screen behind me as well. So first up, know that Jesus welcomes unclean people. So in our first passage, verses 24 to 30, Jesus welcomes one particular woman whom the Pharisees, at the beginning of the chapter, would have rejected. The great news is Jesus welcomes all people, no matter how unclean we may feel. Do you remember what Jesus had been telling the crowds in verse 20? It's what Lauren referred to earlier as well. What comes out of a person is what defiles them. In Tyre, we meet a woman who realizes this and puts her trust in Jesus. So Mark has shown us some supposedly faithful people at the beginning of chapter 7, those Jews who saw themselves as clean, rejecting Jesus. And now he emphasizes that Jesus moved into a very different place where actually people will accept him. Have a look at verse 24 again. Jesus left that place and went to the vicinity of Tyre. He's clearly gone away from Jewish territory and entered a non-Jewish region. Then check out verse 26. The woman was a Greek born in Syrian Phoenicia. So Mark is basically saying, here is a Gentile woman who comes from a Gentile place and lives in a Gentile place. So this detail is really striking here. You see, in the minds of the Jewish people, this woman is completely unclean. Yet, she models how we are to approach Jesus. Well, what does she do? In verse 25, she comes to Jesus as soon as she heard about him. She has a serious problem. Her daughter is possessed by an impure spirit. But she believes that Jesus can heal her daughter. She doesn't question Jesus or his disciples' behavior. She just comes to him. Mark tells us that the woman fell at Jesus' feet. She's honoring him by doing that, acknowledging his lofty status and her own lowliness. How different is this from the Pharisees' critical spirit in verse 5, trying to find things wrong with the disciples? Well, verse 26 literally says that she was repeatedly begging Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. She's persistent, and that's something that all of us can learn from. All of us can be before Jesus. We can consistently bring our needs to him in faith. It's not a limited offer that Jesus has. We can persistently and consistently bring our needs to him. Now, what did you make of his reply in verse 27? First, let the children eat all they want, he told her. For it's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. It's pretty shocking, isn't it, when we read that? Jesus calls this woman a dog, and he does so intentionally. So his words will get us squirming, won't we, when we read them. We're thinking, what's going on here? They're shocking. We actually may not be able to neatly understand them. But we should note, Jesus is not treating this woman as a dog at all, is he? She is a Gentile, non-Jew, but she has equal access to Jesus. He is welcoming her. It seems a harsh way of explaining how it is that the Gentiles can also receive the bread of Jesus' message. But part of the reason Jesus says this is to test the woman's faith. You see in verse 29, he's pleased by her response. And we also need here to see the bigger picture of Mark's gospel. Jesus simply doesn't treat Gentiles as lesser people. He's constantly reaching out to the marginalized. And here he's chosen to go into Gentile territory. If we look on our map, Tyre was 35 miles away from where he's just been. It wasn't just round the corner. He intentionally goes out to these people and welcomes them. So throughout his ministry, Jesus is intentionally seeking out Gentiles as well as Jews. And Mark's highlighting that, and we've seen it before actually in chapter 5 where he heals a demon-possessed man called Legion. So Jesus uses the word first, doesn't he, in that verse? First, let the children eat all they want. Well, the implication of that is that there's a second as well. It's not just for the Jews, it's for Gentiles as well. And it's no coincidence that Jesus performs a bread multiplying miracle for Gentiles as well. We'll see that next week in chapter 8. You see, by contrast, in the first part of chapter 7, we've seen children, that's Jews, who don't want Jesus' bread. Here we see someone who is very keen to receive Jesus' bread. So although the reply Jesus gives in verse 27 is quite tricky, Mark reports this scene to show us Jesus welcoming unclean people. Did you see her reply in verse 28? Lord, she replied, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. The woman doesn't respond angrily or with a sense of entitlement. She calls Jesus Lord and understands her status before him. Even if she only got the crumbs, that would be enough. But by faith, she receives all of Jesus. There's no lower level Christianity then. Well, there isn't one today. Whether you've grown up in a Christian home and have made your parents' faith your own, whether you've just come to faith in Jesus in the last few weeks, you're equally precious in God's sight. There is no higher and lower level Christianity. So Jesus welcomes this unclean woman who realizes she needs to believe and trust in him. Look at how the section ends in verse 29. Then he told her, "For such a reply, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." She went home and found her child lying on the bed and the demon gone. The woman trusts Jesus so much that she goes home even before she's heard that her daughter has been healed. What a welcome she receives from Jesus, and what faith she shows. What might the Pharisees of verses 1 to 13 have thought about this? But what was your answer to the discussion question we had earlier? Have you ever felt like an outsider? One time I felt like an outsider was when I was a volunteer teacher in Kenya. I'd only just finished school myself in the UK. As you can see from the photo, I kind of stood out a bit, didn't I, in that class. I can remember Dan, my fellow teacher, and I, at the beginning of that year, feeling pretty lonely. But we were welcomed so well that actually we soon settled in. By the end of the year, we definitely felt much less like outsiders than we did at the start. Well, do you feel like an outsider today? Do you wonder whether you can really fit into God's church? Does the UK feel like a Christian country and your home country not? Do others in church seem more knowledgeable and sorted than you? Does your past make you wonder whether Jesus would welcome you? Well, know that Jesus has come for you too, just like he's welcomed this woman in the passage. Now, I loved my time as a teacher in Kenya, but I still stood out a bit at the end. I was definitely welcomed, but Jesus' welcome is so much better. His death on the cross means that all people who believe in him can become children of God. No longer outsiders, not even partial insiders, but fully integrated in his family. So if you've not yet trusted Jesus, will you come to him as a humble beggar and respond in faith like this woman? Jesus calls everyone to repent and believe. That's the first message we see him saying in Mark's gospel. And if you're a believer this morning, know that you are fully part of God's family. So our first heading was know that Jesus welcomes unclean people. And the second one is know that Jesus welcomes broken people. We see that from verses 31 to 37. So the second example Mark gives us of Jesus welcoming Gentiles takes place somewhere in the bottom right of our map, this place called Decapolis. And that was a decent journey from where they'd been before in Tyre. But actually, it's also another part of Gentile territory. Do you see how Mark emphasizes that in verse 31? He says this: "Then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre and went through Sidon, down to the Sea of Galilee, and into the region of Decapolis." He's signposting very clearly where they are again, isn't he? We're still among people who the Pharisees would have seen as unclean. But Jesus is again seeking out and welcoming these people. And while verses 24 to 30 focused on the mother's faith rather than the daughter's illness, these verses zoom in on the man's disability. You see, not only would the Jews have seen him as unclean because he was a Gentile, but his deafness and struggles to talk would have made him doubly unclean in their eyes. Well, as Mark answers the question, who is Jesus? He's again shown that he is the universal Messiah and Son of God, come for all people. He welcomes all who turn to him, not just the Jews. So Mark again contrasts these Gentile people with the Pharisees that we'd seen earlier in the chapter. Have a look at verse 32. "There some people brought to him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk, and they begged Jesus to place his hand on him." These people bring the man to Jesus because they believe that he can heal him. And they continually beg Jesus to put his hand on him. They knew that Jesus' touch was enough to heal him. They believe and trust him. Now, touching the deaf and mute man would actually have made Jesus unclean in the eyes of the Pharisees. But look at how he welcomes this broken man. You see, Jesus is not dependent on some sort of particular method to heal people. In the previous section, his word was enough, wasn't it? Even from a distance, the daughter was healed. But here, do you see the real compassion that he shows to this man? Now, being deaf and mute would have meant it would have been really hard for him to understand what was going on in a crowd. So what does Jesus do? He takes him away from the crowd. He puts his fingers into his ears. He spat and touched his tongue. Now the man could understand what Jesus was going to do for him. So there's real tenderness here as he reaches out to this broken man. And then look at verse 34. He looked up to heaven and with a deep sigh said to him, Ephphatha, which means be opened. Jesus is grieved by the man's suffering. He's saddened by the fallen world we live in. Just as we see him weeping at his friend Lazarus' death in John chapter 11. This is not some kind of formulaic healing Jesus is going through. He's deeply moved by the situation. And that can be a real encouragement to us today. Whatever brokenness we're experiencing, whether that's physical or mental, psychological, whatever that is, Jesus is full of compassion and he longs to welcome us. No one is excluded from Jesus' people because of their circumstances. His message to all is repent and believe. Turn from living your way to live God's way and believe in him. So the man is miraculously healed, isn't he? But Jesus commands the people not to tell anyone about this. And that may have been because they've not fully grasped who Jesus is. From these two accounts, Mark wants us to know that Jesus welcomes unclean and broken people. And that is amazing news, isn't it? That is truly amazing news. But throughout Mark's gospel, Jesus makes it clear he's not come to be simply a miracle worker or a healer. Our third heading this morning is a question. Do you truly know Jesus? Have a look at verse 37. People were overwhelmed with amazement. He has done everything well, they said. He makes even the deaf hear and the mute speak. The people were amazed at what they've seen. But as yet, they don't have the faith we saw in the Syrophoenician woman earlier. Do you remember the reading from Isaiah 35 that Andy read? It's on page 720 if you wanted to turn to it. Now that chapter looks ahead to a time when God would bring about great redemption. And so much of it points forward to Jesus. So if we listen to verses 5 and 6 again, I'll just read them from Isaiah 35. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The crowd are declaring how Jesus is doing just this. But they've not grasped yet his true identity. The signs Jesus is performing here show that God is at work. The crowd in the Decapolis, and we today, need to see that Jesus is God. We can't just be amazed by what he does or what we read in Mark's gospel. We must truly know Jesus. We must come to him as Lord, as the woman does in verse 28. So when we know Jesus to be God, we will truly celebrate his welcome and see our need to repent and believe in him alone. Mark's gospel is a really fast-paced account, an exciting read, but it's an account that calls us to respond. Now, last Saturday, our nephew and nieces went to see Frozen the Musical in London, and they were pretty impressed by what they told us. One of the most spectacular parts, apparently, of that show, which they were really keen to tell us about, is when the lead character, Elsa, her old dress is magically transformed into a beautiful ball gown. I'm sure I'd have been amazed if I saw it in the theatre. But I think I'd have been even more amazed if the stage team showed me how they did that stunt. The more I knew about the feat, the more impressive it would be. Well, the crowds in Mark chapter 7 are amazed at what Jesus is doing. But if they grasped that he was the promised Messiah, the Son of God, they would surely call him Lord, just as the woman does in verse 28. You see, far more than knowing a secret behind a spectacular stage show, to know the full picture of Jesus' identity transforms everything. Are you truly amazed by Jesus? Do you see who he truly is? He has done far more than just heal people. These people were amazed, but they needed to respond in faith like the woman in verse 24 to 30. So as we've looked at these verses this morning, we've seen that Jesus has come for all who turn to him. As a result, our headings were, know that Jesus welcomes unclean people. And know that Jesus welcomes broken people. And then a question, do you truly know Jesus? If you're a Christian this morning, are you thankful for Jesus' welcome? Do you realise that there's nothing in your actions or words that can make you acceptable to God? We come to Jesus as humble beggars, just like the woman in our first passage. And if you've not yet trusted Jesus for yourself, will you follow the woman's example and come to him as a humble beggar? He longs to welcome you. Jesus longs to welcome you. I'm going to pause just for a brief moment for us to think about that. And then I'm going to pray. And there'll be a chance for comments and questions. Father God, we thank you that Jesus welcomes all who turn to him. Thank you so much for the example of these people, particularly this woman who calls you Lord. May we be like those who respond in faith. Amen. So, yeah, chance now. If there are any comments or questions that people would like to make or ask, there's a microphone available. Yes, Anna.
Hi, Ed. I was just thinking, right at the end of the passage, when the people say he has done everything well, I wasn't sure what does that mean? Yeah, what's everything, and what's kind of their perspective of everything? Because I was thinking from the Jews' perspective, they keep criticizing Jesus, how he's doing things, but some of them start getting who Jesus is. And you were saying that this crowd has seen a bit of Jesus, but not fully got who he is. But they say he's done everything well. So I was just wondering, yeah, what does that mean?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think it's they are amazed by what they've seen. They've seen Jesus doing amazing things, and they're thinking, wow, this is awesome. So everything they've seen him do is great and fantastic. That's why they've said he's done everything well. And I think their words are almost saying more than they understand for themselves. I think it's deliberate the way that what they're saying actually picks up the passage in Isaiah that prophesies what Jesus would do. So I think they have understood something, but not the full picture. So everything they've seen he's done well, but if you like, they haven't understood everything about him. They haven't understood what the signs point to. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I think that's right. They've seen amazing things, so they've not yet made the connection. But I think an encouragement is that even the disciples haven't made that connection fully yet at this point as well. So thank you.
Sorry, we got a bit confused. Could you explain the bread and breadcrumbs and who are the dogs, who are the children again? Thank you.
So I think in the example Jesus gives, He's saying that the children are the Jews, and oh, sorry. So the question was, can you explain again about what Jesus says in verse 27? He says, first let the children eat all they want, for it's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. And I think what he's saying there is that the children are the Jews and the dogs are the Gentiles. So it's pretty harsh language that he uses, but it's saying in one sense that in terms of history, God came, revealed himself to the Jews first, but always for the Gentiles as well. And here, the harsh saying is prompting the woman's, I guess, questioning her, testing her faith, for her to see that actually, it's not a, although there's an order in which God has appeared to Jews first, the children, and then to Gentiles, the dogs, it's not in any way that they are excluded, they are included and actually have full access. So I think it's quite a pointed, harsh saying that gets us thinking. But I suppose the analogy is that the children are the Jews, the dogs are the Gentiles. Does that make sense? Yes, Fiona.
I just wanted to pick up something. I'm being a bit pedantic here, sorry. You said that the lady left before she heard Jesus say, I have healed your daughter, but actually the word said that Jesus had told her and then she continued to go home.
So what I meant, sorry if it wasn't clear, Fiona, what I meant was that she leaves before she gets the news. So Jesus, she's trusting Jesus' word. Nobody from her home has come, oh, by the way, your daughter's healed. She finds the daughter healed. Yeah. So I think it's an example of her faith. She absolutely trusts Jesus at his word.
Yeah.
So yes, brilliant, you've said it. I believe you, Lord. I'm going home.
I get you. Thanks.
Yeah. Thank you.
Just in terms of personal application, this is just more of a of the woman's faith. We find it shocking that she said, "Well, even the dogs will eat the crumbs." But is that because we think that we're deserving children by nature? Are we offended by that because we think God owes us something? And actually, she's got it right on the head. And fascinating enough, the Jews don't even deserve it because none of them were faithful. Jesus just said that all of them are dirty and unclean. There's only one who is actually an offspring of Abraham who's been faithful, and that's Jesus himself. Only he deserves the bread. So I think that's there to teach both those who think that they deserve and those who don't think that they deserve, that actually none of us deserve God's mercy.
Yeah, thanks. We all have to come like her as a beggar, don't we? Thank you very much. That's really good. Thank you. Any others?